I'll make a couple of suggestions, and you brethren help me temper it. I think it would be good to spend a little bit of time on 17 and 18. And then to look in chapter 4 about prayer that is not answered. Talk a little bit about it. We have the end of chapter 5, prayer that is answered. Somewhere in between, if there could be, I always think it's good with young people to dwell a little bit on the brevity of our lives here. We approach things as though we will be here forever. And verses 14 or 13 through 17 really help us to see the real true perspective of what our life in this scene is. So maybe somebody could read verses 17 and 18 of chapter 2, and perhaps down through verse 8 of chapter 4. We may not cover each of those verses, and then we go from there in the second half.
But the wisdom from above first is pure, then peaceful, gentle, yielding, full of mercy and good fruits, unquestioning, unfeigned. But the fruit of righteousness and peace is sown for them that make peace. Whence come wars and whence fightings among you? Is it not thence? From your pleasures which war in your members. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and are full of envy and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war. Ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask evilly, that ye may consume it in your pleasures. Adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore is minded to be the friend of the world is constituted enemy of God. Think ye that the Scripture speaks in vain? Does the Spirit which has taken his abode in us desire enviously? But he gives more grace. Wherefore, he says, God sets himself against the proud, but gives grace to the lowly. Subject yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hearts, sinners, and purify your minds, ye devil-minded.
Maybe we'll just read the next two from the King James. Be afflicted and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. We said in the earlier reading, what is borne out in verse 14. Much or all of the difficulty, the root of it, is a heart problem. It is a heart problem. The heart speaks. We learned that this morning. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth would show forth. But now we have set against that. We have wisdom that is from him. Wisdom that is from above. And it's interesting the order. It's first pure. And we must always remember that. It is first pure and then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. My, how many barriers are broken down as we look at these things, and this is from him, isn't it?
I think in a real way, it's the answer to what you have in chapter 1 as to the wisdom that we ask of God. Because we might ask ourselves the question in chapter 1, you know, how would one describe, how would one understand the wisdom that is of God that we ask for? And here in this third chapter, we have it really opened up for us. You know, I was thinking over lunch that in talking about the tongue, talking about our conduct, and being slow to speak, it might give the impression that we're saying that we overlook things, that we let things slide. But here, the wisdom that comes down from God, it's first pure. And that purity speaks of the fact that God is holy, that God is righteous, that it is a wisdom that is not spotted or tainted as the world evaluates and measures things. So when we see things, we have to say things for what they are based upon the Word of God. We have to see things clearly. So even in our own personal lives, as we are brought through trials and testing, we have to be able to understand that God is in it, number one, that He is working things out for our own good. When there are difficulties, like in verse 14 and 15, you know, these are the things that we find in the world. You know, the striving of the heart, that's all associated with what we are in or were in Adam. But when we receive or are exposed to the wisdom that is from above, it's pure. You know, it's not going to create strife. And sometimes we, you know, we have to challenge ourselves as to when I engage in a conversation or when I become a part of something, and when I say what I'm going to say, is it, number one, going to illuminate the beauty of the Word of God? It's going to say what it is. Is this result going to bring peace? Or what is it going to bring? More strife? More difficulty amongst the brethren, more problems in my home with my parents, or is this wisdom going to bring about a peace because it's pure and it's done or it is initiated based upon that wisdom that comes from above?
So we notice also that the wisdom is pure, and I think that adds us to verse 11. Does a fountain bring out sweet water and bitter? What is pure is not a mixture. It is something that is made of one thing. So so that when we are characterized by these things, we are characterized by what is pure, what is without mixture. And we don't want to be, the wisdom that is from God will not bring forth the things that we read in verse 11. Then we find that this wisdom is heavenly. So the source of what is needed for our earthly experience is heavenly. And how do we get this? I believe that we've had divine persons mentioned in this book. We've had in chapter 1, God. We had the Father of Lights. In chapter 2, we've had the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of Glory. And I believe that this, although we get chapter 4, we get the Spirit. Here we have what comes by the Spirit. So these things, this wisdom that comes from above is brought to us by the Spirit of God. So these are wonderful things, resources that we have, to realize that the character of this wisdom is heavenly, so that we don't have to go to men of this world, we don't have to go outside of what the Christian experience is, but we go to God Himself, and we realize that these things are from Him.